The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
We want to continue our series on joy. And I want us to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 15 through 22. First few verses we're just going to use to paint a picture of why Paul said what he said. So chapter 1 of verse 15 of 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing, of course, to the Corinthians, and he says, "In this confidence I intended to come to you before, that you might have a second benefit to pass by way of you to Macedonia, to become again from Macedonia to you and be helped by you on my way to Judea. Therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Or the things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh, that with me there should be a yes, yes, and a no, no? But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." The Apostle Paul is just writing practical business as he's organizing to come and visit them, but like he often did, he couldn't help but teach a biblical principle. He couldn't help but get into deeper truth than, "Hey, I'm coming." And what he says to them in the first couple of verses, simply what he's saying is, "What I said I'm going to do, I'm going to do. My yes is yes and my no is no." And he asks rhetorical questions. He says, "Was my answer to you yes, yes, and no, no?" And then he begins to unravel for us this awesome truth that I want to present to you this morning. And if this doesn't bring joy to you, nothing will. And in verse 18, he uses God as an example. Let's read it. "But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no." What's he saying? He's saying, listen, we just model our God. We just model our Father. When I say yes to you, I mean yes. And when I say no to you, I mean no. But it's not a mishwash. It's not messy, messy back and forth. And back in the next verse, he says, "And so it is with the gospel of Jesus Christ." It's not a little bit of yes and a little bit of no. The gospel of Jesus Christ is yes.
Amen. Come on.
It's yes. And then he goes on and he says, "In fact, all the promises of God in him," that is in Jesus Christ, "are yes, and in him are amen."
Come on. Yes.
That ought to bring joy to your hearts. All the promises of God are yes in him. All the promises of God are amen. In him. It's not wishy-washy. It's not, "Well, maybe yes, maybe no. Bada bada boo bing. Yeah, yeah, yeah." And he's establishing his principle, and he basically says, when God makes a promise, he's going to keep it. Man is not a man, or God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. So in him, all the promises of God are yes. And in him, all the promises of God are amen. But it doesn't end there. To the glory of God. To the glory of God. God is not constantly looking to glorify himself. I personally feel like we, the charismatic wing of the church over the years, have not put in enough emphasis on the promises of God. You've heard me say many times over the years that I believe that preachers preach out of the crucible of what's going on in their own life. And this message and this morning is no different. When you have a wife that's diagnosed with cancer, the promise of healing becomes really precious. When it moves from stage 3 to stage 4, the promise of God becomes even more precious. And the promises when God... See, personally, we need to know that our God does everything he does by word. And the reason for that is because he's a spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God is in the truth business, and he does everything he does by word. He sets everything in motion with his word. That's why the scripture says God does nothing except he first reveal it to his prophets. He gets others to join in with him and join and agree with his word, with his declaration. When you're a spirit, you need flesh and blood to manifest, whether you're dark spirit or spirit of light. You don't do very good on your own. That's why, remember when Jesus was casting out demons and the demon said, please, please, please don't send us into outer darkness. Please don't just send us into anywhere. Don't send us somewhere. Okay, he said, I'll send you into the pigs. So he sent them into flesh and blood. And it drove the pigs crazy, and they ran into the river and drowned. That's why the verse doesn't end with "to the glory of God." There's one more little piece, and it's the most important piece, and it's a piece we want to talk about to you today. Two words: through us. Through us. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ, unto the glory of God through us. And the word there is ego. In the Greek, it's the word ego, ego. And it can be translated either an individual or corporately, and I think it applies to both. The reality for you, for us to see the promises of God being yes and amen, it takes a corporate involvement. Yes. It's through us, and it's through us. If you don't hear anything else this morning, I want you to always remember this. Our response determines our result. See, blessed are they who rest. Oh, good, I'll just rest on the promise of God. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Get me a Coke. No. It's on to glory to God through us. One thing that we've been learning as we've been contending to make a healing that already exists a reality, and we'll get to that in a minute, is we have an involvement, and our response matters. Our response, in fact, determines the result.
That's true.
We have a part to play in this. It's just like I said a little earlier in opening. The reality is forgiveness has been extended to every human being, but every human being has not taken it and taken a hold of it, taken that which has been presented to them. That's why we are ambassadors for Christ, imploring people to be reconciled to God and to really, in reality, inform them that they have been reconciled to God. They can be reconciled to God. They are forgiven. That's why Jesus could say that you and I get this. This will blow your mind. You and I have the power to forgive sins.
That's right. Yeah.
It's amazing. On his behalf. Why? Because sins have been forgiven. We get to give voice to it, though, because... Let's do this. Let's let God preach the rest of this message. Everyone listen. He needs somebody.
Yeah.
And your neighbors need somebody.
Amen.
I never get too proud about the ability to preach, because the reality is, I read in the Old Testament, God spoke through a donkey. Hee-haw. By the way, do these come in black? Can you get these? Would they come in black? I've always wanted to grow a ponytail, but neither my mom or my wife will let me. I mean, I'm just saying. And I know it would take a long, long time. It's through us. Our response determines our result.
Yeah, that's true.
We need to understand that. Why did we go off on a ponytail tangent? Because you were getting way too serious, and you were making this way too complicated. All through history, for almost the last 2,000 years, there is a three-word sentence that has been resonating in the spirit realm. It is a sentence that Jesus Christ declared at the cross, and that is, "It is finished." Everyone say that with me. It is finished. Say it again. It is finished. One more time. It is finished. We need to get that into our spirit, because everything at times will rise up and will challenge the reality of that statement. It is finished. What is finished? All the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. All the promises of God. It's finished. I don't care what your need here is here this morning, whether it's healing, whether it's provision, whether it's forgiveness, which you have and you just maybe don't know you have. I would pray that even as we preach this morning, you'd get hit with the reality of the fact that it is finished. It is finished. And so when it says that all the promises of God are yes and amen through him, unto the glory of God through us, here's the legalism coming in. Get ready to spit up.
Yeah.
We immediately feel like, oh, I got to produce something. No, you do not produce anything.
That's right.
It is finished.
Yes.
The only thing that I bring to the table, the only thing that you bring to the table, is faith.
Yes, yes, yes.
And not faith that God will do it. Not faith that God can do it. No, no, no. It is finished. My faith is that God has done it. By his stripes. Amen. Go. Let it go. Get it in your spirit. And I want you to know I'm preaching to me and my wife as much as I'm preaching to you, because we've been pressing into this stuff because it matters to us more than it ever has. It is finished. And so faith is important, but it's important only from the standpoint of contending for the reality of the fact that he has. It's done. It's finished. If you need provision here this morning, there is provision through the cross of Jesus Christ. He became poor that we might become rich. Whatever, I don't want to attach it. I tend to automatically gravitate to healing because, to be honest, I think it's something that God is accentuating in this hour to the body of Christ, because in the days to come ahead, we're going to need to understand that it is finished and that we have a healer.
Amen.
And that we don't need to wait until whatever or whatever. But it's through us, but it isn't through me performing. It isn't through me getting God's attention. It isn't through me twisting God's arm to fulfill a promise that he already made. I like the way John Matthew says it. Many Christians are trying to get into a room they're already in. And it is so true. And we're trying to get from God that which has already been promised and already been done. And this is not yes and no with him. It's not, well, yeah, but, yeah, and no. And all kinds of things can rise up. Because I know, and you know, of people who have stood on the gospel that I'm preaching and didn't see breakthrough come to fulfillment, whatever it is. And I want to suggest to you that's got nothing to do with nothing.
That's right.
That does not change the fact that it is finished.
That's right. That's right.
And I'm going to talk about disappointment and delay in a minute. But the reality is we've got to get it in our spirit that it is finished.
Amen.
That we know that we know that we know that the one who promised is faithful. He does not a man that he should lie.
Amen.
And he's not in the habit of just throwing words out. It's not yes and no. It's not yeah, but it's not conditional. It is not based on me holding my mouth right when I pray or saying the right abracadabra term. It is based on laying hold of something that's invisible. Now, the truth is that most of you are pretty secure, I suspect, in your salvation. Why is that? Because it's finished. Prove it. Prove it. By faith. By faith in what? That you're going to be good enough this week. If you die, what kind of week did you have last week? Just be honest. Yeah.
Busy.
Yeah. Were you good, though?
Pretty good.
Were you a good boy?
Pretty good.
Okay. So if you'd have died on Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday.
Yeah. Huh? You think you'd have made it? And see, and you know, we understand this logic that I'm engaging in him with, and it's okay. He's my brother, so it's okay. Stand up. Doesn't he look like my brother? Don't
yes.
we look alike?
We look a lot alike.
Yeah. This is my brother. We look quite a bit alike, and we look a lot like our father. If you're visiting, that's not my brother, but that is my brother. That logic is kind of silly, and yet that's the logic we go through for so many things that are finished, that were provided in the atonement, that were provided by Christ at the cross, provided by grace, but accessed through faith.
Yes.
Say that again. It's provided by grace. I mean, I'm your brother. I can tell you the truth, right?
Yep.
You don't deserve salvation.
Neither do you.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you. If you didn't hear him, he said, neither do you. And I can almost be sure of this. If either of us did, it'd be more likely you than me.
Wow.
I know that. Because you haven't lived long enough. How old are you?
30.
Yeah. I was saved by then, but I was still working it out. Working it out. But that dialogue goes on so often in our heads or in our, you know, whatever, as it relates to the other things that were provided and that are finished. And it's that, yeah, but am I good enough? Did I? No, you didn't. It's not about what you did. It's about what Jesus did. It was only he who could pronounce it is finished. But he pronounced it as a man. I believe, not as God. He pronounced it as a man. In fact, I want to say this carefully, but he was the least like God in that moment than he had ever been. Because he was carrying your sins and mine and just about to die. In fact, after that statement, he does give up the ghost. So that is a man, but it is the man Christ Jesus, the one mediator between God and man, declaring this. And he says it is finished. What was finished? All the things that God has determined. In fact, he says it right after being offered the vinegar and after saying, I thirst. That was the last thing. It had to be fulfilled in Scripture, at least as Jesus understood it. And I'll take his word for it because he's pretty reliable. Now, the truth is you do have an evidence of your salvation, and we're going to get to that in a minute. No, in fact, we'll get to it right now. It's the last verse we read, 22. We have a guarantee, the Holy Spirit. We do have a guarantee that this word that I'm preaching is real. You do have a guarantee that your salvation is real. You have the Holy Spirit, and you've known him, and you've felt him, and he's done stuff for you. So has he done stuff for me. So has he done stuff for you. And you have known his presence, and you've known his person. And I tell you this, the Holy Spirit could not even come near you, let alone live inside you, except that it is finished. That's the evidence. That's the evidence that by his stripes I was healed. But I have more evidence than that, for the Word and the Spirit agree. And the two become a witness. And in the witness of two or three, let everything be established. And there's one more witness, and that's me. And I choose to give witness to the fact that it is finished. And I lay hold of it by faith. Now here's where the challenge comes in. All the promises of God are yes in him. All the promises of God are amen. In him. They're in the spirit realm. They're in Christ. And they're not always tangible. And often when there's delay and when there's, you're in the case of healing, when your body is screaming at you, there arises up an argument that says it must not be finished. But we must have that so in our spirit that it is finished. And our faith is anchored in the fact, not that God will or God can, but that he did. And it is finished.
Amen.
And so we hang on to that like a bulldog. Why? Because God is not yes and no. He's not maybe. And in my response to him, so therefore my faith to him cannot be yes and no. I cannot be a double-minded, James says, I cannot be a double-minded man. I'm unstable in all my ways. Let not that man think he'll get anything from God. Pretty serious words. But that's the through us piece. But again, it isn't through us in the sense of performing some awesome thing. It's through us believing that Jesus performed some awesome thing. And no matter what voice that rises against that, I will contend for that and I will believe that. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Amen.
Now we have an adversary. And just as God is the truth of all, God is the source of all truth. Our adversary is a liar.
That's right.
And he's the source of all lies. He's a liar from the beginning, Jesus said. We tend to ascribe to our adversary a lot of power he doesn't have. And if you believe different than me, that's fine, but I purposely don't think he has the power to flood Houston. And I know God doesn't have the heart to do it.
That's right. Come on.
Our adversary is a deceiver. That's all he is. He's a liar. He's a voice. He's a talking head. He's not omnipresent. He's not anything. I can guarantee you this. You haven't met him. But he has all kinds of little minions and little voices and little mosquitoes, Marcy calls them. Just little mosquitoes are like the bzzz. And their buzz is to call into question the truth, the reality. Is it finished? Doesn't matter what we're talking about. Doesn't matter whether we're talking about forgiveness, talking about righteousness, talking about provision, healing. You name it. Doesn't matter. The adversary's answer is always the same. Did God really say? We see it so clearly in two places. In his dialogue with Eve in the book of Genesis and in his dialogue with Jesus in the wilderness. If you are the Son of God, God had just said he was. And he had just said he was pleased in him. Liar, liar, pants on fire. And what he does is he wants to get us into this yes, no. It's a mixture of faith. And it's poisonous. Because it undermines the reality of the Word of God. The Bible, yes, but more than that, what God has said. There's maybe some things that God has promised you and God has spoken to you. Be sure it's God, but once you are, hold fast to it. Recognize that he may not have changed his mind, but he doesn't mind changing you in the process. Because the promises of God are fulfilled in Christ, in the Spirit, they're outside of time. And so often there are delays connected with the promise or the fulfillment of the promise. And it is in those times of delays that discouragement can come in. And I want to encourage you this morning. God's yes is yes and his no is no. Yes. Period. End of paragraph. That's why we should be some of the happiest people on the planet. Doesn't matter what we're going through. Doesn't matter. There's nothing outside the reach of the cross. There's nothing outside the reach of the words of Jesus. It is finished. I want to encourage you to arm yourself with Bible verses, with scriptures, when the adversary comes against you. That's what Jesus did. That's what Eve could have done. Not a Bible verse per se, but what God had said. Because, really, the serpent put to her a question she could have really answered with what God said, had said. They had walked with him in the cool of the day. In all that time, you're going to tell me the God of the universe didn't speak anything? He's a chatty dude. He's got a lot to say, and every bit of it's true. And every bit of it's free. Who said that? Oh, good. Who has a need here this morning? You don't have to raise your hand, but you can. We're going to pray for one another this morning, but we're going to pray from the standpoint of it being finished. If I had a nice shiny car and I gave it to you, it'd be silly for you to ask me for it, wouldn't it? It would just be silly. And yet sometimes that's what we do in our dialogue with God. We ask Him to give us what He already said we have, instead of proclaiming that we have it. Sometimes we get too religious and we don't want to lie. But you know, to agree with the truth that is not yet manifesting in your body is not a lie. And with Marcy's cancer, we've been pretty careful not to make broad declarations of anything except that we are contending. We chose not to go surgery because we heard the Lord say that. Others of us heard it too, but she had to hear it. Because then it is the word of the Lord and it is the promise of God for her. How many of you know that we need to personalize the Word of God? In fact, I personally think we put way too much emphasis on volume or amount and not enough on depth. I'd rather know a few scriptures really, really well and have them so embedded in me than to know the whole book but have no depth to it. And I want to suggest to you that often we go through things in life and God uses that as an opportunity to get a new depth in us of relationship with Him. And He gets to be someone to us He would have never been had we not gone through that. And so we get to see God as our provider when we go through difficult times. That doesn't mean God initiated it, but He will sure use it. Right, there you go. We get to see Him be the rescuer. Do you know that God loves to be the rescuer? He loves it. I believe that many of you have seen on TV the rescues that have been taken place by the whomsoever, wheresoever, with a boat, with a whatever, canoe, whatever, rescuing people. And you can tell by some of the interviews, both of those who are rescued and those who have been rescued, what a privilege it is and what a connection they have. Yeah. Yeah. Well, God is the rescuer of rescuers. Yeah. And then He likes to train you and I to be rescuers along with Him. And I don't believe that all those who were rescuing were believers, but some of them were, many of them were. That's not the point. The point is, we are made in the image of God, and that desire to rescue and to help is in people. Not all, but almost all. And if it isn't in someone, it's because they've been hurt or wounded or twisted or whatever. So I'm going to open up the altar this morning. Is our keyboardist here? We're going to open up the altar this morning, and if I always hate to put a qualification on it, because who cares? I mean, by that, I mean, it doesn't really matter. If there's something stirring in your heart concerning it is finished, and there's something that you want to bring under that declaration of that statement, whether it's a need for healing, whether it's a need for whatever, you want to come up and play prophetically? Thank you. Just quietly. So the altar's open. Come on up if you have a need for something. Especially if you're having trouble getting breakthrough. We're just putting God to the test. Putting His word to the test. Encourage you to use your sanctified imagination to see that thing finished, whatever it is. What would it look like if that was finished? What would you do if that was finished? What difference would it make if that was finished? Holy Spirit, we just invite you as the guarantor to come. We're just giving God time. Some of you have been waiting for this a long time. What's a few more minutes? Don't connect with man, connect with God. For those of you in the congregation to come up and pray. Come up and gather around. I'd like to see at least one, if not two people around each of these. I want you to pray from the standpoint of it being finished. If you feel a pressure to produce, laugh. Just laugh at it. What could you possibly produce? We need more ministers. You can do this. This is the body of Christ. Some of you have been rescued from what you're praying for the other person. In some cases you know it, and some you don't. Doesn't matter. lay hands on, you are simply you're helping to access that which is in the spiritual realm and pull it into the natural. In the name of Jesus, we pull in the healing virtue of Jesus Christ out of the spirit realm and into the natural. In the name of Jesus, we pull out of the spirit realm provision. Out of the spirit and into the natural. Don't be afraid, ministers, to get around front and minister to people. If you have a word, release it. You carry this. Out there in the congregation, please agree. Just agree with God. That's all we're doing. We're agreeing with God, the one who has promised. He's a good one to agree with. Taking a few more minutes. Feel free to ask what they want prayer for if you like. Minister. Step into the place of a minister. Don't be afraid. You can do this. This is you. It's through us. It's through you. It's finished. It's finished. I see the big letters written over the two of you. It is finished. Deep, let that happen. Let that happen. That's deep. Name, it is finished. In Jesus' name, new strength to this body. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' Those of you who are praying, if you don't know of anything else to say, just declare it is finished. There's an argument that rises up in the head of some that says that's just a nice platitude. That is not a platitude, that's the truth. We're going to dismiss. Those of you who would like to leave, you feel free. Those of you who would like to stay and just intercede, you feel free. We're going to let them minister a little longer. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for agreeing with what the Lord is doing. As you go from here this morning, remember, it's finished. Amen.